here's a story from The World.
Here's how I start my day, in case you were wondering. Crank up the coffee, take my dog Frankie around the block, and read as much as I can about the news and stories that happened overnight while I was sleeping. If you're like me and want to start the day informed, then start it with The World's morning newsletter. We'll send it right to your email, so you've got it first thing when you wake up. Sign up for Top of the World on our website. That's theworld.org/newsletters. Again, that's theworld.org/newsletters. As climate change reshapes our planet, it's also going to change where we live. Up to 1 billion people are expected to move for environmental reasons by 2050, including to escape the worst impacts of drought, rising sea levels, and natural disasters. Today, we look at migration as a solution to climate change on this installment of The Big Fix.
We have come here to let you know that change is coming, whether you like it or not.
Can we turn this around?
We have no other option.
The only option that we have is to succeed.
What we do now and in the next few years will profoundly affect the next few thousand years.
In a moment, we'll speak with a writer who has some thoughts about how migration can be a solution to climate change. But let's start with The World's Anna Kussmer to help us out at the baseline of this discussion. Anna, what makes someone a climate migrant? Define that.
A climate migrant is somebody who moves because of the impacts of climate change. That can be people who live in low-lying coastal areas or on island nations that are expected to be inundated by sea level rise. It can also be people who have, say, lost crops because of extended droughts or expanding deserts. It's very hard to tease out exactly who is a climate migrant because people move for very complex reasons. But climate change is a huge part of the picture of why people are on the move now and why people will be moving in the next decades.
So up to 1 billion people on the move by mid-century, is that right? Because that is huge.
It really depends on how bad climate change actually is. And it also depends on how much countries are able to adapt to the impacts of climate change. Right now, the UN says that 20 million people move a year for environmental reasons. Most affected are the people from poorer countries, and that dynamic will likely continue.
Are there legal migration pathways for climate migrants like there are for people who are fleeing war or persecution?
Most climate migration is actually domestic within countries, and there's no international protection for climate migrants. The UN and other international agencies are actually working to try to create legal protections. Climate migration is often framed as a crisis. Another way to think about it is that it's an adaptation. Yes, it's a result of climate change, but it's also in some ways a solution to climate change. And that is what we wanted to spend some time thinking about today on the show.
The World's Anna Kussmer, thank you very much for getting us started on this.
Thank you, Marco.
I spoke earlier this week with someone who spent a lot of time thinking about this, Sonia Shah. In her book, The Next Great Migration, Shah argues that migration should be seen not as a crisis itself, but as a reaction or adaptation. She saw that firsthand while reporting in the Bahamas after Hurricane Dorian killed an estimated 2,000 people there last year. In her reporting, Sonia Shah asked how many of those lives could have been saved if people had safe and legal pathways to move.
We think of these climate disasters as being catastrophic because people will have to move. But it's really just the opposite. When I went there, the tragedy was that people weren't allowed to move, that they had been trapped there, in particular, you know, marginalized communities in the Caribbean, like Haitian people in the Bahamas. They don't have a lot of pathways to move, even outside of a climate disaster of any kind. Even though we know that if you live on an island and you're vulnerable to catastrophic climate disasters, you will have to move across international borders. We don't have any legal pathways for people to do that anywhere in the world.
So recently you wrote about this and you underlined the well-worn narrative of people coming from the global south, how they're often seen as invaders after these catastrophes. How do you think historic colonialism and racism frame how climate migration is widely seen in our society?
I think this idea of migration as catastrophic goes right back to, you know, in the Western tradition anyway, our original ideas about what nature is and where people come from and where they belong. We're facing a lot of migration in our future. And some of it's already happening. And we don't really have a good way of thinking about that. We think about it as, well, let's try to turn the faucet off. Let's close the borders. And what we have today is more borders that are fortified with walls and fences than ever before in our history. We're also on the cusp of this great need for adaptive migration because of the climate crisis.
Yeah. So how do you reframe that point of view?
I think part of the roots of our idea of migration as a problem is because we think things are supposed to be still. It's a very deep habit of mind, I think. We do it for animals and people. Think of the animal maps that people put up in their nurseries for their kids to look at, where the camel stands in for the Middle East and the kangaroo stands in for Australia and the bear stands in for North America, as if those species are so stationary that they are kind of one and the same with that place. All of those things are just a snapshot in time. All of these species have been moving around a lot, and so have people. We really need to, I think, incorporate that migratory past into our ideas about who we are and where we belong.
Given how contentious immigration policy can be and how some politicians weaponize it, how realistically do you think climate migration could be made easier?
The sad fact is it's going to be made easier because it's going to start affecting a lot more people. This is not something that we are going to be able to sort of ghettoize as someone else's problem. You know, people in this country are having to move because of climate change. People in low-lying coastal areas in Louisiana, in around the Chesapeake Bay. People are having to move out of parts of California because of the fires. The complexities of those moves are going to force us to really confront, how are we going to manage this?
So redefining migration away from this sense of catastrophe, you also nod to some of the positive aspects of migration. For example, the fusion of cultures and art. You point to the music of the great Ethiopian jazz artist Mulatu Astatke and a song of his like Yakar Moso. Make the connection for us between migration and Mulatu Astatke's music.
His combination of traditional Ethiopian music and reggae and Latin rhythms and jazz, it just sort of travels along these deeply carved migratory routes from East Africa to South America to the Caribbean to Eurasia and North America, that our bodies have been traveling from the very beginning, you know, and continuing today, although with so much more difficulty. The sound is so familiar on one hand, but it's also kind of strangely different. It's that tension in his music, I think, which makes it so soulful and beautiful.
Yakar Moso, another product of migration, and Sonia Shaw, author of The Next Great Migration. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Mulatu Astatke playing us out of today's show with Yakar Moso. We come to you from the Nan and Bill Harris studio at WGBH in Boston. I'm Marco Werman. We'll see you right back here tomorrow.